For the Morgan Street Church of Christ, we would like to wish all our listeners and their families a wonderful Thanksgiving holiday and, of course, a safe one. And something else I would like to mention here at the beginning of our program, for all those who attended our gospel meeting with Brother Ronnie Whittemore, I know you appreciated the good preaching and, of course, how he puts it out where the calves can get it. Yes, we had a good meeting, and to God be the glory. And I wanted to thank everyone that was in attendance or prayed for our meeting as well. So thank you so very much. Now, this being right before Thanksgiving, as I record this ahead of time, of course, even before Sunday, I know that there's a lot of disappointments with the situations at hand, and at this time we still need to be thankful to God for our wonderful blessings. Of course, we're all receiving physical blessings, but those of us in Christ, we receive special blessings. That's right. The spiritual blessings are only in Christ, as we see in Ephesians 1:3. So our study this morning is taken from Psalm 30. Now, this is a prayer of thanksgiving, as David, the inspired psalmist, must have passed through a difficult period shortly before writing this psalm of prayer or thanksgiving. And we cannot be sure of which one of David's difficulties or trials this psalm concerns, but we certainly know he passed through many difficult times, did he not? But yet he still had gratitude towards God. That's the lesson for us as well. Appreciate how many family tragedies did David have with his children and all those situations. So, have we not passed through trials such as a serious illness or a loved one that's in that situation? A loss of a loved one. You know, that's the most difficult, is it not? Perhaps even our own life has been in a threatening experience. And some have experienced all of these. So an important question for us to ask is this: did we show our gratitude towards God after those situations, those tragedies, those loss of loved ones, and so forth? So our study together of Psalm 30 needs to be applied. And we'll entitle this study, David's Prayer of Thanksgiving. And we'll begin that study in just a moment. Hello, I'm Bob Hawkins, and for the Morgan Street Church of Christ, we welcome you this morning to PFE. That's Preparing for Eternity. And that's the most important thing we could be doing. Now, I want to take this opportunity to invite everyone to join in with us here at 540 East Morgan Street. Yes, of course, this is in Martinsville. We come together in our Bible classes, and we're appreciative of the precious Word of God. And then as we assemble to worship God, we're striving to do so with a proper attitude, and also in accordance to the New Testament pattern. Thus, that's in spirit and in truth, according to John 4:24. Something else we want to mention: we look forward to having Bible studies. If you're interested in sitting down together and studying from God's Word, at your convenience, let us know. And your Bible questions, your comments, positive or negative, they're appreciated. So again, you can write to us. That's 540 East Morgan Street, Martinsville, Indiana, 46151 is the zip code. Our office phone number, area code 765-342-6027. Now, one other thing, I don't want to forget this. Our website address, www.morganstreetchurchofchrist.org. And you'll find our radio sermons there, and also our bulletins. Now let's get into our study this morning, David's Prayer of thanksgiving as we go to Psalm 30, and we'll begin with verses 1 through 3. I will extol thee, O Lord, for thou hast lifted me up, and hast not made my foes to rejoice over me. O Lord my God, I cried unto thee, and thou hast healed me. O Lord, thou hast brought up my soul from the grave, thou hast kept me alive that I should not go down to the pit. Sing unto the Lord, O ye saints of his, give thanks at the remembrance of his holiness. Well, I went past 3, didn't I? Well, let's back up and stay with verses 1 through 3. Well, we can be sure here as we see these verses, David's perception. We know as we study this, David, he knew his source of deliverance. That, of course, was God. Now, we see these phrases, thou hast lifted me, thou hast healed me, thou hast brought up my soul. All these declarations in David's prayer are praising God for his providential care. We need to do the same. If we're faithful in the Lord's church, we're receiving God's special providential care. Everyone receives the sunshine and rain, the physical blessings of life, even the atheist. But those who are in the body of Christ receive the spiritual blessings that are only in Christ, Ephesians 1:3. God's providential care certainly is one of those blessings in the special sense. Now, David was not ashamed to tell others what God had done for him. He declared to all that God had lifted him up from a dangerous situation. Well, David knew how close he was to the grave. Perhaps we've been in that situation. Yes, or know of someone that has. Are we not reminded of Jonah's prayer to God in the whale's belly? From this, at least I am. Jonah, let's go to Jonah 2, verses 1 through 7. As we know, Jonah disobeyed God. He was commanded to go and preach to the Ninevites, and Jonah didn't want to do that, so he tried to run away from God. He couldn't do that, of course, not possible. As he got on a ship, and Brother Ronnie preached on this, as the theme of the gospel meeting was ships in the Bible, and this certainly was one of them. Makes a good study. But let's notice again the prayer of Jonah as he is in the whale's belly as he was cast overboard by the sailors. They didn't want to do it, but they had no choice. The storm was not going to be calm until they got rid of the problem, and that was Jonah. And Jonah knew it. So here in the whale's belly, he prayed unto the Lord his God out of the fish's belly and said, I cried by reason of my affliction unto the Lord, and he heard me out of the belly of hell, or Sheol in the Old Testament. Cried I, and thou heardest my voice, for thou hast cast me into the deep in the midst of the seas, and the floods compassed me about, and all thy billows and thy waves passed over me. Then I said, I am cast out of thy sight, yet I will look again toward thy holy temple. The waters compassed me about, even to the soul. The depth closed me round about. The weeds were wrapped about my head. Can you just picture Jonah in that whale's belly? Where is he going to go? All this seaweed and stuff wrapped around him, closed me round about. I went down to the bottoms of the mountains. The earth with her bars was about me forever. Yet hast thou brought up my life from corruption, O Lord my God. When my soul fainted within me, I remembered the Lord, and my prayer came in unto thee into thy holy temple. Jonah remembered it's God that he needs to pray to. It's God that he needs to be faithful to. And he did preach to the Ninevites. There's a lot of lessons in that. But notice, the hymn we sing oftentimes, Love Lifted Me, should have more meaning as we realize how God has delivered us, not only from the difficulties in our lives, but more importantly, from our sins. Of course, we were lifted up out of the sinful life we were living before we obeyed the gospel. Let's appreciate that. This is David's perception, and we should have the same perception as well. But let us go on now, verses 4 and 5. And we'll entitle this, David's Praise. Sing unto the Lord, O ye saints of His, and give thanks at the remembrance of His holiness. For His anger endureth but a moment, His favor is life, weeping may endure for a night, but joy cometh in the morning. Now, we need to give thanks as we appreciate God's holiness, pure holiness, without a flaw. And of course, as members of the Lord's church, we should be thankful every day for God's greatness. Now, notice, joy cometh in the morning. We could weep at night, but when we get up, joy cometh to us as we realize that God has blessed us with another day to be alive. David wanted others to share in the great joy that was his. He appreciated God's holiness. So what about us? Do we appreciate God's holiness? Yes, I need to answer this question. All of us. Well, clearly God's wrath is deserved by sinful man, is it not? But thankfully, God has provided the means of our salvation from our sins. That's the blood of Christ being shed on Calvary's tree. As we submit to the gospel of Christ, we can contact the blood of Christ, which washes away our sins. So when we weep over our sins and respond to God's grace, we can have true joy and peace. Not just a moment of happiness by chance. No, true joy and peace. Notice 2 Corinthians 7, 9 through 10. Now I rejoice not that you were made sorry, but that you sorrowed to repentance, for ye were made sorry after a godly manner, that you might receive damage by us in nothing. For godly sorrow worketh repentance to salvation, not to be repented of, but the sorrow of the world worketh death. Judas went out and hung himself. He was sorry, but he wasn't with a godly sorrow, or he could have been forgiven. Of course Christ would have forgiven him. Jesus forgave those who cried out, "Crucify Him, crucify Him." And then on the day of Pentecost, they learned what they had done to the Messiah, and 3,000 souls obeyed the gospel. They were forgiven. Jesus' prayer was answered, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do." Now, I want to mention this because we've all sinned against God. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God, Romans 3:23. Therefore, we must have godly sorrow in order to repent. That's the proper way, isn't it? Now, God's discipline is needed by His children. We need to point this out as well. Hebrews 12:5-7. And ye have forgotten the exhortation which speaketh unto you as unto children. My son, despise not thou the chastening of the Lord, nor faint when thou art rebuked of Him. For whom the Lord loveth, He chasteneth, and scourgeth every son whom He receiveth. If ye endure chastening, God dealeth with you as with sons. For what son is he whom the Father chasteneth not? What father and mother is not going to discipline their children? If they love them, they're going to discipline them. Well, the same is true with God. And we need to appreciate God's discipline, even pray for it. Sometimes it's necessary to experience pain before the cure. It's better to have the pain of God's discipline than no cure for our unfaithfulness. You see, God's discipline can cause us to repent and return back to the fold, become faithful children of God. That's right. Hebrews 12:11. Now no chastening for the present seemeth to be joyous, but grievous. Nevertheless, afterward, it yieldeth the peaceful fruit of the righteousness unto them which are exercised thereby. So let's appreciate, yes, David's praise and be doing the same with God's discipline and thank God for it. Now let's go on to verses 6 through 7 and we'll entitle this David's Presumption, 6 and 7. And in my prosperity I said, I shall never be moved. Is David depending on his prosperity? Sounds like it, doesn't it? Lord, by thy favor thou hast made my mountain to stand strong. Thou didst hide thy face, and I was troubled. So David's presumption here is he's maybe thinking about how foolish he was to have Joab number the Israelites, 1 Chronicles 21, 1 through 30. 70,000 Israelites died because of David's sin. So this was a time when David did not depend on God as he should. But of course he did repent, as we know. But the lesson here is for us. Are there times when we feel pretty secure in ourselves and we're not depending on God as we should? Proverbs 3, 5 through 7, trust in the Lord with all thy heart and lean not unto thy own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. Be not wise in thy own eyes. Fear the Lord and depart from evil. Let's put that to practice. So as David, we must admit our wrongs and realizing that by obeying and depending upon God, we are able to be what we should be and glorify God in all that we say and do. Well, let's go on and notice now David's prayer, verses 8 through 10. I cried to thee, O Lord, and unto the Lord I made supplication. What profit is there in my blood when I go down to the pit? Shall the dust praise thee? Shall it declare thy truth? Hear, O Lord, and have mercy upon me. Lord, be thou my helper. David went to God in prayer, and God answered his prayer, did he not? Well, man may not always listen to someone who has wronged him, but God hears the prayers of his faithful children in Christ, who were certainly in the wrong before they obeyed the gospel, and even sometimes after having obeyed the gospel, some of the brethren become unfaithful, but God receives them back when they repent of their sins and pray for forgiveness. Remember when David sinned with Bathsheba and had her husband Uriah killed in the battle to cover his sin, 2 Samuel 11, 1 through 17. Uriah was a faithful servant of David, a very good soldier in his army, and here David sinned with his wife, and she's with a child. So David wants to try to cover up his sin, tries to get Uriah to go home. He wouldn't do it. David tried to get him drunk, still wouldn't do it. So David put him out in the front of the battle, had the others withdraw from him, and sure enough, he was killed. And so we go to Psalm 51, and we see David's repentance. As he wrote by inspiration after Nathan, the prophet, came to him and told him of the poor man who had one little ewe lamb, which was taken by the rich man to feed a traveler instead of using one from his large flock. 2 Samuel 12, 1 through 14. David was furious. This man deserves death. And Nathan said what? David, thou art the man. And he was. That was the means of David's repentance. He saw what he had done and done this before God. But here in this verse, or these verses here, 8 through 10, you see that the only thing that would stop David from praising God was his death. Going down to the pit, going back to the dust. It's referring to death, isn't it? So you see verse 10. Here is David's total dependence upon God. And that's the lesson for us as well, to have that total dependence not depending on ourselves. No, as we go to John 15:5, without Christ we can do nothing. If we're not attached to the true vine, we're not going to make it to heaven if we're accountable. But notice Philippians 4:13, I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. That's the way we live. Through Christ we can certainly do all things that strengtheneth us. Let's appreciate that. Now let's finish up our study of Psalm 30 and go down to verses 11 and 12 and call this David's peace. Thou hast turned for me my mourning into dancing. Thou hast put off my sackcloth and girded me with gladness, to the end that my glory may sing praise to thee and not be silent. O Lord my God, I will give thanks unto thee forever. Well, by being faithful in the Lord's church, we can have the peace of God, which passeth all understanding. No matter what disappointments we've experienced, no matter what tragedies, loss of loved ones, illnesses, we can have the peace of God, which does pass all understanding. Of course, Philippians 4:7. Let's never forget that. And be like David here. His tears were turned to triumph. And as we who remain faithful unto death, we will have the victory when the Lord returns. Notice 1 Corinthians 15:57. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as you know that your labor in the Lord is not in vain. But that labor has to be in the Lord, doesn't it? In His church, in His body. That's where we labor and be faithful, even if it means our death. Revelation 2:10, we'll receive the crown of life. Notice 1 John 5:4 with me. Well, let's go back to verse 3. For this is the love of God, that we keep His commandments, and His commandments are not grievous. For whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world, and this is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. Now notice, here in 1 John 5:3 and 4, we need, of course, to accept the love of God. We do that by keeping His commandments. If you love me, keep my commandments. John 14:15, that's what Jesus said, wasn't it? So, they're not grievous. They're for our benefit. They're helping us to be acceptable unto God and have salvation. Now, verse 4. Whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world. This is the victory. To have the victory, though, we must overcome the world by what? Obeying God's commandments and living faithfully, even unto death. There it is. Who missed it? We all should see that. David, here's something else to note before we finish up our study. David could not be silent because he was determined to go forth with thanksgiving, service, and a continued devotion to God. That's right. Being thankful as we're preparing for the Thanksgiving holiday. Well, that's good that our country recognizes the pilgrims and Indians getting together and giving thanks to God for their many blessings. But we don't want to just do that occasionally. That needs to be done every day. Of course, we don't want to remain silent about praising God and giving thanks to His holy name for all the blessings we receive every day. And certainly the spiritual blessings, the richest of all. So we want to have thanksgiving and we want to have a service unto God that's combined with a continued devotion to God. Appreciate fully all that God has done for us, as David did. If we do that, certainly we're going to be able to glorify God. We will not be satisfied without doing something ourselves. if we fully appreciate all that God has done, of course. So let us not be silent, but let us be more determined to praise and to serve God continually. The love of God has provided the means of our salvation, but we must respond to God's amazing grace as we studied the last two Lord's days. Ephesians 2:8-10. There's different kinds of works in the Bible. Works of merit are excluded. Works of the flesh are excluded. The law of Moses, it's excluded. We're not under that covenant. But works of righteousness, that's included. Those are the obedience that we've put forth to God's commands. That's a must. That's verse 10 of Ephesians 2, isn't it? So let's appreciate God's love, respond to His grace by obeying the gospel, that is the gospel of Christ. Now, we stand ready to assist anyone in putting on Christ. Let's note, first of all, we have to hear the truth. So then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. There's no other way. We must have biblical faith, not what someone told us is true, but what the Bible says. That's right. Bob Hawkins can be wrong, of course, but the Bible is always right. Search out the Scriptures to be sure what is being said is the truth. So our faith comes by hearing the Word of God. Now we're ready to believe that Jesus is the Christ. He died for our sins. Yes, except you believe that I am He, shall die in your sins, John 8:24. Certainly we would be motivated to repent after believing Jesus is the Christ. He's the only begotten Son of God that went to the cross and took my sins and your sins upon Him. That's right. Now, how do I respond to the love of God? Have I repented and gone the way that God has set forth, or am I holding on to my will? We have to turn loose of that will, make a change of mind, and do the will of God. I tell you, nay, except you repent, you shall all likewise perish, Luke 13:3-5. Now, having repented, we're ready to make the good confession unto salvation, Romans 10:9-10. Yes, as the Ethiopian eunuch did in Acts chapter 8, before he was baptized. Once we state that Jesus is the only begotten Son of God before others, now we're ready to be baptized. Why baptism? Well, for one thing, it's a command of God. It's not an optional matter. Baptism doth also now save us, 1 Peter 3:21. It's what was told the day the church began in Acts 2:38. Every conversion in the book of Acts, they were baptized into Christ for the forgiveness of their sins. This is where we contact His precious blood. Of course, we're buried with Him into His death, as you study Romans 6:3-5. We put on Christ in the watery grave of baptism, Galatians 3:27. So we stand ready to assist anyone and study further to obey the precious gospel of Christ and have that peace of mind that passeth all understanding. We thank you so much for listening today.